Again, we're your home of Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game, and Valkyries basketball as well. Tim, we're on the call. That date, 9 years ago? That's insane. Oh my God, next year's going to be 10. That's scary. It seems like yesterday, Joe. Game 6, Western Conference Finals, 2016. Klay Thompson, 11 of 18 from beyond the arc. He had 31 field goal attempts, 41 points in that one. Steph dropped 31. He had Day-Day with 12. He had Iggy off the bench with 8. I know he doesn't like Iggy. Going up against KD, Russell Westbrook, and the guy you want this offseason still. A young Steven Adams was doing it then. Getting the start. Andre Robertson. That's a name I haven't heard or thought about in a minute. Serge Ibaka, obviously. Anthony Morrow, another Warriors legend. Dion Waiters coming off the bench there for OKC. 108-101 the final as the Warriors themselves, down 3-1, come all the way back, force a Game 7, they win that, and then obviously advance to the NBA Finals. But Game 6, Klay was born 9 years ago today.
I'll never forget where I was. You guys know, what is my Memorial Day weekend?
Russian River.
Exactly. I was at the Porter Cabin with my, at the time, she was 90 years old.
Not the Porter Potty, the Porter Cabin.
90-year-old grandmother, Frances, sitting there. She was having her cocktail. My Uncle Jeff's birthday is always during Memorial Day weekend, essentially. This was the Saturday, I believe, before Memorial Day. So we're all up at the cabin on a tube TV. I mean, we are talking old school heavy. I mean, this thing was like a bowling ball to even just move it on the rollers.
Right.
And we were huddled around this tiny little tube TV in standard definition, all right, watching that game. Warriors were down 5 at the break, I believe. I want to say
53-48. Look at you.
There you go. Down 5. And every single shot felt like the season was on the line. And I'll never forget the entire family, as we were barbecuing in the backyard, was huddled around the television in the front room watching the games. One of the greatest games of all time in Warriors.
Down 8 heading into the fourth quarter. And what do they do? Outscore OKC 33-18. Klay Thompson goes nuclear. En fuego. Again, Game 6, Klay. 41 points. Again, we're talking about the greatest shooter of all time, Stephen Curry. Yeah, for my money, what he is. But when they're on fire, who do I fear more? It might be Klay when they're both on fire. Because he does it in a way that is just so... just the net doesn't move, Joe. He doesn't take a dribble. It's just bam, bam,
he took
bam,
some heat checks time. From the logo, yeah. That were... And again, you got to go back 9 years ago. Logo shots aren't what they are today.
No, they're not.
You know, Carl Anthony Towns out here throwing up logo shots.
Yes, I know.
And like Klay taking those shots at that time, a decade ago, was... not even like, oh, that was absurd.
You know a guy that likes to shoot from the logo? It's Nick Friedell. And he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. And he's our Odyssey NBA Sports Insider. And insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety, that is, yours, mine, Carter's, everyone's, and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, good morning. Were you there that day in Oklahoma City?
Predates my time, buddy.
Okay.
Although I'm like Mr. Shasky here in that I know exactly where I was, and Carter can get the drip machine ready as always. But I was actually at Sarah Spain's wedding.
Sarah Spain, there you go. Wow.
I'm watching this thing unfold, and I'm like, he's going to hit another one. He's going to hit another one. And he just kept knocking them down. And, you know, there's that famous clip of Laker bowing to Klay in the hallway in OKC. But guys, as we think about it, it was historical and it was an unbelievable performance. But I mean, part of the reason that Joe Lacob had to be so happy in that moment, think about the money that Klay made for the organization just by extending the series and then getting them to the point that they got with the extra game. So there was a lot of different stuff on the line right there. But the fact that he went off the way he did is a reminder why he will always, always be so beloved out in the Bay.
So you're saying not only did the Warriors have a bonus title at one point in their run, they had a bonus series that benefited Joe Lacob.
Everything was coming up Lake of during that stretch. That bonus title, bonus games, the money that was pouring in. Guys, the reality is it was such a special time. And for Clay to go and do what he did just is another reminder of how unbelievable that stretch is. And I know as we look forward here, and you guys talk about it all the time, because I still click on the app and I'm listening, but it's like, okay, is it really, really over? You know, what is the ceiling now looking ahead into the next year, the next 2 years with Steph still there? I think a day like today is just another reminder for everybody to take a deep breath and remember how many great times there have been. And that's tough to do in the moment, and it's certainly tough to do when you still think that there's a little more left in the tank. But some of those games and that Clay game, game six being really at the forefront as far as an individual performance, they're just incredible. So everybody should celebrate them because you don't know when you're going to see them again. But when I started seeing some of the highlights and Mr. Loveman was telling me what was going on, I just went, gosh, to see that and to have him do that in that moment is some pretty special stuff.
Talking with our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedell. And it's a good point, Nick, because this is a team that's won four titles, but the fact that we remember a conference, not an NBA finals, but a conference finals game the way we do. And let's be honest, a season that a lot of Warriors fans want to forget because of what happened after that and blowing. Not only did they come back from a 3-1 deficit, they themselves blew a 3-1 deficit after that, but we remember that whole run because of Game 6 Clay. And obviously, it's an all-timer, 11 of 18 from beyond the arc, 41 points for him. Again, this date in Warriors history, 9 years ago. Pretty crazy, right? 9 years ago now. And fast forward, Klay Thompson is a Dallas Maverick, and he's going to be playing with maybe Cooper Flagg and Anthony Davis next year, which is insane. And we'll get to the craziness that is the NBA offseason. Just reeling it back to right now, Nick, are you surprised by anything that's taken place just in the NBA playoffs? I mean, we're looking at a Thunder Pacers NBA Finals. If everything, if they take care of business, they're both up 3-1 now, barring any miracles. Is that surprising to you at all?
I mean, nobody's weeping harder than Adam Silver, guys, because the league can try to spin it any way they want with, well, these are two young teams, and they have star players, SGA, Halliburton, assuming that both teams can finish things off here. These two teams just aren't interesting. I mean, that is the saddest part of all. So is there a surprise, Spadone? I'm still shocked that Tatum got hurt and Boston just didn't get to that level that everybody thought they were going to as a back-to-back champ, because all things being equal, everyone being healthy, I still thought they would find a way to win. They beat OKC, and they would be the next in the dynasty conversation. As we all know, an injury happens, and it can change the course of everything in an instant. And that's what happened again with the Celtics in this case. But as far as the potential, and it's looking more and more likely by the second here, of Thunder Pacers, I think the basketball itself is actually going to be a lot of fun. You've got two different styles. You've got an indie team that loves to race up and down the court, and you've got a Thunder team that can defend all over the place, and they're deep as hell. And for my money, I would still think the Thunder are just a little bit better, and they'll finally get over the hump and win here. But what concerns me just as a fan and as somebody who makes their living in part off the game, there's so much talk about who's the next face and SGA and all this different stuff. I'm here to tell you, if these companies thought that the Thunder and Pacers were interesting enough, they would have had people like me writing stories all over the place and pumping them out through time. That is what is a scary thought for the league. It's, and we've had the conversation about the Warriors, and frankly, this ties right into Golden State and Steph, and the reason why so many people are still hoping they have that one more push in them. People just don't follow the Thunder and the Pacers the same way. They're popular locally, and certainly people nationally are learning a little bit more about them now, but those are not teams that are in the conversation by any stretch on a daily basis, and they're just a pure afterthought. So they deserve the credit that they've gotten, but it is going to be tough for the league if they both finish these series off to try and sell this thing and get the casual people invested, because they just don't know a lot about these teams. And there's a reason why these teams haven't been pushed to the forefront over the last couple seasons.
All four teams left have a big center and an offensive power forward or some version of that. And I know, you know, OKC has got a dynamic situation in terms of their front court, but I look at the Warriors and they don't have that. They don't have a dynamic center, a shot blocker, and they don't have a scoring power forward, and they don't have perimeter defense. How should they attack this offseason to acquire those two things?
Joe, I don't know what the hell they're going to do because all your points are well taken. And as beloved as Looney is, I mean, he's certainly not that guy. So it goes back to the talk of what do you do with Draymond? You put him at the center. When you have spent at the level that they've spent and the contracts are in place that are already there, it's not that there's not somebody that they can bring in and get more athleticism, especially down on the blocks and on the perimeter. But, Joe, I out of all the times that we sat here and tried to break down what are the Warriors going to do, the biggest issue that I would have if you're Mike Dunleavy and that staff and the Lakers is I'm not sure who the pieces are that are going to fit around the big money pieces that you already have in place that are going to take you to some next level. You have Steph. He's still awesome, but he's at an advanced stage of his career. Can he stay healthy? We already saw what happened when he went down. You know, it's over. Jimmy, same thing. He wasn't the same after that fall in Houston, but he's a year older now. These guys are all very proud. They still have a lot of talent, but those pieces on the margins, I'm just not sure who they're going to bring in that is going to make that big of a difference, which is why when they went down to Minnesota in that series, you kind of go, uh-oh. I mean, I guess it all centers around Kuminga, and everybody knows the story there. What happens? Is there some kind of sign and trade? My point, as we sit here right now, though, before free agency really gets rolling, is I'm not sure who you're bringing in that is going to make what you have look that much better.
So let me.
I still think they have a shot, but I don't feel like it's a very good one. Okay. With the pieces in play.
I do that too. I do the process of elimination. Okay, if we get rid of Kuminga, what can I reasonably get back? And I keep coming back to this. I feel like the only way to dramatically get better would be to be open to breaking up Jimmy, Dre, and Steph. Would you be open to that if the Warriors came to you and asked you that, hey, Nick, you know, if we can upgrade, would you break up the Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond trio? What would your answer to them be?
I think you'd have to be, but I think Jimmy was the best piece that was readily available for them in the moment, which is why Dunleavy made the deal that he made. At this point, Joe, and this is why it's got to be so frustrating, not only in that front office, but for such a rabid fan base that's so into the day-to-day of that team. Okay, if you move Draymond at this stage of his career, even if everybody was like, all right, you know, we have to do something, we have to improve, what are you realistically getting back? I mean, that's where I keep coming back to is, If you're saying, all right, we've got to break up the core, okay, you're moving on from Draymond. For what? For all the ups and downs, I still think he gives you your best chance to win. on top of the fact that Jimmy's trade market wasn't all that robust, because if it was, the Heat would have gotten back a better package than they did from the Warriors. So there are all kinds of variables in play. I know that there's going to be a lot of discussion about what they might be able to do, what they could do. But as far as from where I'm sitting, I just don't see those next moves that are going to make that much of a difference.
And
what scares me now, guys, is that these guys are just older. I mean, that is the reality, and it's a reality that's harder to stomach than it was 3-4 years ago, because they put the right pieces around Steph and Draymond, and they won that one more time. You throw in Klay as he was coming back from rehab. They don't have the type of age that you're feeling really comfortable about now, though.
You're tapped in. You've got friends in high places, whether it's Tim McMahon of ESPN, Brian Windhorst. You've got sources all around the league.
Shams.
A boy can dream, can't he? Okay. Giannis? Warriors? Does it have any legs?
First of all, McMahon being in a high place is a horrifying thought, because, I mean, like, friends in low places was made for my boy McMahon. But, yeah, Joe, as far as Giannis, the only way the Giannis thing happens, in my mind, is if Giannis goes to the Bucks front office and says, I want to go to the Warriors, make this happen. That's it. Because not just on the surface or on paper, Warriors don't have what some of these other teams have to offer. I mean, it's not even close. Again, where are the assets? That is what I keep coming back to. Like, is Kuminga a solid player? Absolutely. Like, can he get better? Of course he can. He's still young. But what are you getting back in return, and what else are you throwing in that's going to make any team, Milwaukee in this case, feel like, yeah, okay, we're getting close to the value of whomever we're swapping with. So the Giannis thing only makes sense if Giannis goes to John Horst and that front office and says, there's only one place I want to be. There's only one person I want to play with, and that's Steph. And I don't know that. I know through time they've seemed to build up a nice little friendship, but I'm not sure exactly how far that extends. And the other part, guys, is and the thing that would worry me again for the Warriors and Giannis trying to make this pairing work, Giannis is at a different stage of his career as well. I think we'd all agree that while the Warriors certainly still have a chance, that window is just about to close. And that's what happens when Steph reaches the age that he's at. So if you're Giannis, do you really want to come into a situation where, yes, you're still an incredible player, and yes, you absolutely would give the Warriors a better chance to win a title, but there's a very good chance in the next couple of years all these guys that you're coming in to play with are gone. And then what do? So as always in the NBA, there's intrigue, but specific to the Warriors, that superstar pairing only happens if Giannis pushes for it from now until the time that something were to go down.
Talking with our Odyssey Sports NBA insider, Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. One more for you, Nick, and we appreciate your time this morning. All right, you said it, the Giannis stuff right there. Kuminga's obviously the big talking point here. So what's more likely? Game one, couple months from now, regular season, Kuminga is a Golden State Warrior still, or Giannis Antetokounmpo is a Golden State Warrior? Which one's more likely?
I would take Kuminga every time in that situation, sadly, Spadone, because, and I'm not saying that Kuminga is long for the Warriors world, but I think the chances of Giannis pairing up with Steph are really, really small. We've all been around the NBA long enough to know that anything really is possible when you have people who want to get something done. But for all the uncertainty that surrounds Kuminga's future in the Bay, I am much, much less certain of a possibility where Giannis actually gets there. One, because we're still not sure if he actually wants to go and leave Milwaukee. But two, again, what are the Warriors giving back that's going to make Milwaukee go, yes, this makes sense for us? I don't see the assets that it would take. So give me Kuminga in that scenario, even though I'm still not sure that he's a long-term fit either.
Hey, Nick, we appreciate the time, buddy. We forgot to do your intro. I feel so bad. I didn't hit the intro.
Next time.
That's my bad, Carter. It's okay. You're off the hook there. That's my bad, Nick. We just love hearing your voice, though, this morning. It's bringing a smile to my face. When are you coming out to the Bay? Come on.
Fadon, I'll get out there in the next couple months at some point, and when I do, we'll all reconvene somewhere. But, yeah, anytime we can get those Kelly Oubre drops in there is a good time. So we'll get it next time for sure.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Miss you, pal.
All right. Love you guys.
See you. There he goes. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Nick Friedell, Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Hey, Giannis.